Well, welcome to the podcast, Anything's Possible. And this is a podcast designed to share the stories behind the success of people. Now, I'm your host. I'm Joseph Anderson. For the past 20 years, I've been helping people reach their seemingly impossible dreams. And you can find more out about me at my website, Joseph Anderson, spelled S-O-N dot C-O. And today I have the pleasure of having Keelan McCauley on the show. And super cool. I met Keelan when I was just in London about a month ago, and Keelan played the role of Josh in Clueless, and he's kind enough to be here with us today and just kind of share with us his journey. So first of all, to introduce yourself, Keelan, is there anything particular you want to share?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm so flattered that you asked me to do this. Thank you. Where do I start? I'm Keelan. I am from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and I am currently, as you said, playing Josh in Clueless the Musical on the West End. I'm just a Canadian doing what I can, living it up in London.
Well, and I have to say, I did obviously see Clueless, and it was a super fun show. So if you guys are in London and get the chance to see, it is totally worth it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was such a, I mean, such a fun show, and all the different ways they use props is just, it's hilarious. It's just awesome. You guys really do such an awesome and great job, man. I
It's
really.
ridiculous and goofy, buddy. I know it's fun. It's fun. Thank you.
It is so ridiculous and so goofy, and I loved every second of it.
Great to hear.
And the music was pretty good too. Sometimes people see a musical from a movie and they're like, "Oh man, that's the music's not going to hold up." And I have seen some of those, and I will not mention them by name. But Clueless is not one of them. I will say that. So
Yeah, I think the
Josh, like.
music is something that's super unique because we have a non-musical theater composer doing the songs for us. We have an indie rock star doing the music for us. Her name is KT Tunstall.
Yeah, I've heard of her. Like, what's her
So
most famous
her
song?
two big global song hits are Suddenly I See and Black Horse in the Cherry Tree. Suddenly I See blew up because it was the first song in the opening intro to the movie A Devil Wears Prada. And so she was like kind of the pioneer of like the one person with a guitar doing loops and stuff, and she pioneered that in the 90s. The team behind Clueless was like, well, who's better to write music for a show all about the 90s and 90s nostalgia than someone who had the peak of their career doing indie rock in the 90s? So yeah.
See, that's kind of cool in itself. Like, your producers and everything were willing to go against the grain, and it worked out
Yeah.
really well.
Yeah, because they paired her with a really well-known and veteran musical theater lyricist. So that's kind of where it all came together with those two working together, and they did a really good job. Yeah.
Yeah, they did, man. But so, like, coming back to you, when did you know? When did you even like get a hint of a desire that you wanted to be an actor?
Yeah, so I guess it goes all the way back to when I was about 9 or 10 years old. It's actually a really funny story how this came about. Well, I guess if we're going way back, like all my childhood, I was very much I was a rambunctious kid. I was always playing pretend. I had a huge imagination, Lego and all that stuff. Like I was like creating movies in my mind, playing with action figures and stuff. Like, and I was always like, I had a crazy imagination. Sometimes that, came around to bite me. But yeah, but it was never something growing up that I really knew I was going to be into until one day, my family, we watched this movie about, a boarding school where there was like an elite boys choir. And after I watched that movie, I was like walking around the house, like singing the song, like the big song that they sang in this movie, like the choir. And eventually my mom was like, Keelan, do you like that? And I was like, yeah, I really like the song. It seems like cool. I think I was like enamored with the idea of like an elite group of young boys like singing. I don't really know what it was, honestly. But then she was like, "Do you want to apply for the Calgary Boys Choir?" And I was like, "Yeah, actually, you know what? Let's try it." So then we did do that, and I didn't have any song to audition with. And they said, "Okay, you can sing Happy Birthday or O Canada." So then I sang both as my audition song, and then the choir director, she basically was like, "Yeah, you're in, you're in, and I'll teach you privately and catch you up to speed with the rest of the boys and stuff." So then I started doing boys choir, and that was like I enjoyed that for a while, and I think that was like I enjoyed it because it was almost what I wanted to do, but I hadn't quite figured it out yet. And then one day, this local theater company called Rosebud Theater, they're like a semi-professional theaters outside of the city. They were doing a production of Oliver Twist, and they needed a bunch of young boys who could sing to be the workhouse boys and be the chorus and ensemble of Oliver Twist. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like something I could I'd enjoy to do. So then I auditioned for that and got it. And then as soon as I did that show, that's when it clicked for me. And I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. Because in choir, one of the things that always happened to me was the choir director would say, like, "Keelan, you got to stop using your face, stop showing emotion and like acting out what you're singing." And I just felt so wrong to me to just stand there like a robot while singing. And then as soon as I did that show, I was like, oh, I've married singing with the performance aspect that I was like, I guess, internally wanting to do. And as soon as I did that show, I was like, yeah, okay, no, this is what I was looking for when I did choir. So then eventually I left choir, left that behind me. But I will say that starting in choir and learning how to sing classically really set a foundation for my singing technique that I still like kind of use today. And I'm really glad that that's how I got introduced to it, instead of like instantly going into a musical and trying to like sing like a pop singer and ruining my voice or something like that. So choir gave me the like the foundation of singing technique that still benefits me to this day. So although I left choir, I still am definitely thankful that that happened. And then yeah, as soon as I did Oliver Twist, I was like, no, this is what I was looking for. And then I started doing
Let me jump in for a second before you skip to that. First of all, I want the listeners to know, I think it's really interesting that you said, I felt something. I didn't quite know what it was, but you followed it. It's almost like, if you've seen the movie Brave, like the wisp on Brave, you just kind of keep following them and following them. And sometimes it feels a tiny bit ridiculous, but it feels right. It really does feel right. And so when you're starting to follow whatever you want to do not expect a road that just goes where you think it's going to go. It doesn't work that way. It's like we set our direction. It's like we have this inner GPS that we set, and then like it takes us there, and it just takes us there in different ways. And then when you were doing Oliver Twist, like, was there a distinct moment that you're like, oh, this is it? Or was it more of a collection of moments?
Honestly, it was probably the first day of rehearsal. I'll never forget it. It felt so special. And just like watching, the director was giving a speech, and that all the like, the costume designers came out and like showed us a slideshow of all the costumes, and they showed us what the set's going to look like and everything. And then it was just, I guess, the creative team talking about how are we going to create the show? How are we going to build this world like that? So I wasn't even, we hadn't even gotten up on our feet and started themes or songs yet, but I think I just knew that this collective process of creation was something that I loved. And like, leading back to like when I was like playing with Lego, acting out movies and making stop motion movies and stuff like that, I think that was the earliest sign of me enjoying that as well. And then from that first day I was like, no, this is it. And then did the show, and then yeah, mini collection of moments after that. But I think it was, yeah, the first day of rehearsal, I was like, this feels right. This feels right. And like you said, the wisps guided me there. So yeah.
You know, I love your description of that, of just of how it felt special. Like it just felt really, really good. I mean, if you're able to, and if you're not, it's fine. But like, are you able to describe kind of how that felt in your body? So like, and if not, it'd still be cool too, man.
I think no, because I think I can, because I think that I still feel that today in certain settings, like when you open a new show and stuff like that. Like, I guess it's just kind of like a like an internal buzz of excitement that's like, oh, I get to be a part of this. I get to be a part of the creation of this. And like, especially felt that this year, because I'm in the original cast of Clueless. I've never been able to originate a character, and that's like, in terms of the process of creating art, like I got to actually be the first guy to say these lines and sing these songs, and I think that that's the same feeling I felt that first day of rehearsal in Oliver Twist.
So you guys, if you're listening, like pay attention. These are the people that are where you want to be. Like, listen to them. If you feel that buzz, like if you feel that really, really good feeling inside, like trust it. It is funny. I was actually out. I was out at dinner with some friends that are in an up and coming band, right? And
Oh, great.
it was interesting. Like when we were there. We were at a sushi restaurant and we opened these fortune cookies, right? Which you never take seriously unless it's good. And I opened mine and we all just like busted out laughing because it says, follow your dreams. It knows the way. Right? I mean, it was just like so funny, right? Like that, this is it. And I think so often everybody wants it to be logical. Everybody wants it to be, but it's not. It's never
No.
logical. Okay, carry on after all of your twists, man.
Okay, yeah. So I just started doing community theater around my city. A lot of storybook theater. They're basically what I owe all of my foundation to. And then I was doing a show, and I was doing my first lead. Actually, it was Big the Musical. If you know the movie, the Tom Hanks movie, I was playing Tom Hanks's best friend. So that was like my first like lead, kind of. And my mom said to me, she was like, "Hey, would you want to like do this as a career, like professionally?" And at that time, doing it as a career wasn't, I didn't really realize that that was a thing. So I was like, "You mean like you can do this instead of like having an office job like my dad?" And she was like, "Yeah, you can." And I was like, "Then yeah, I want to do this." So then we decided, and I'm very fortunate to have parents that support me in this, because it's not easy. And I think that part of what helped that is that my parents actually met in a musical. So
Seriously?
my mom was in the cast, my dad was in the band. My dad was like a musician and many bands and stuff, and my mom was an aspiring actress. And yeah, they met in a musical. So like the arts and stuff has always been like a foundation, a pillar of our household growing up, and my mom ended up leaving that in the past, and she moved on. But so I think that she understood it. And I think that really helped, because it was a dream of her. She accomplished something, but then eventually she left it behind. And then I think that she saw that I had the potential and wanted to do it, so she did everything within her power, my dad as well, to make my dreams a reality. And so that really helped. And so then when I was about, yeah, like 13, 14,
I just have to step in for a moment
yeah,
on
go ahead.
that, because dude, that is amazing. Like, that is absolutely amazing that you had parents that actually supported you on the path less traveled, because that's not very common. And anyone listening out there, as fortunate as Keelan was to be able to have that experience, you don't have to have anyone support you. You, if you move forward on your path, it's kind of like the Muppet movie. You move forward on your path, you eventually find your people. Even if your parents don't support you, you still trust this inner guidance. But that's so cool to hear.
Absolutely.
So cool to hear.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate because more often than not in this industry, people don't have parents that really understand it or take it seriously, or until that their kid ends up being a Hollywood A-lister and then they'll change their tune, but
Always
but no,
say
I'm
that.
very, very fortunate. It's not like my mom is living vicariously through me, but it does make me feel nice that I'm able to share with her my success, and because I think a part of I'm carrying on the legacy of because she's I'm not saying she gave up, but she did she had to she took a different turn, she took a different turn, so it means a lot that we're able to I'm able to share my happiness and success with her, and it's just really nice. So then I ended up going to school in the UK. We originally were going to try to get me to a school in America, but we had multiple people in my city who had tried the same thing. They tried to go to a school in America, and they did, but then with work visas and stuff, it ended up being that on average, you can only stay in the US to try to find an acting job for about a year after graduation. And we found out that the UK, because of Canada and the Commonwealth and everything, we actually got a guarantee of like 4 years of right to work after graduation. So that was the main decision-making factor. And I always thought, like, my brain process behind it, because I could have just gone to a school in Canada, and I did get into the best school for musical theater in Canada. And I did almost go there, but I did think, I was like, if I would rather try to get out of Canada and start a career elsewhere, and I would rather do that, fail, and then have to come home. Because if I didn't, if I never left home, I think for the rest of my life, I would have thought, what if I did try? What if I did? So I thought, what? It's a such a long shot, and it's a shot in the dark. But like my mom always says, shoot for the moon or shoot for the stars, and you'll land at the moon. I just thought, let's take the chance. And I took a huge risk and chance by coming over to the UK to go to school and try to start a career and everything. And it could have, I'm very fortunate that it has worked out, but even if it didn't, that would have been fine because then I would have gone back to Canada where I have the right to work and everything. But I would have thought, you know what? At least I tried. At least I tried. And if I didn't try, I would have gone the rest of my life thinking, what if I did leave home? What if I did? So that's what kind of motivated me to take the leap because it was terrifying, and I think that mindset can be applied to almost anything. If you don't try, you'll never know whether it would have worked out or not.
So before I'd cut you off before you were talking about, oh, you were 12 and 13. So did you move to the UK when you were how old?
Oh, sorry. So this was after high school. So I finished high
Okay,
school
gotcha.
in Canada. So this was all just about like, where am I going to try to go to university?
For sure. Back up a little bit and like what happened with that between that 4 year that gap between you were roughly 12 or 13 up until you moved to the UK?
Because my parents were so committed, they sent me to camps in America, like audition prep camps in America, and that's where I really like learned, because like in terms of my age group, I was definitely in the upper echelon of like young actors in my city. There's not many. And then I'm really glad that I went to these like intensive summer camps, like 2 weeks at a time, stuff like that, because it really showed me. I was like, oh wow, yeah, in America, like they're I'm like one of the like good kids from where I'm from, but going to these camps, I was like, okay, all of these kids are like the best performers where they're from. And going there really opened my eyes. I was like, yeah, okay, no, this is I'm gonna have to like really, really lock in and work for this because everyone is talented, but Going there helped me. Yeah, it helped me not become comfortable in my like small pond. So yeah, we did the college prep camps and just like acting intensives and stuff like that as much as we possibly could. Like a couple scholarships for like programs here and there, and kept training with one of my mentors back home, Tori Doctor, who basically taught me everything I know about acting. And so outside of school, I used to play lots of sports. I was a regular kid, but then at a certain point, I had to leave sports just to focus on training. So I had a singing teacher, an acting teacher, and then eventually I was pretty reluctant against it because I just am not a naturally gifted dancer. But started dance training as well because that you got to have everything you can. I told my mom like I really wanted to get an agent and try to like do film and TV while I was like a kid and stuff like that. But she said she was like she held me back from that because she wanted me to just focus on honing my abilities and craft rather than like leaping for it too soon. And I do thank her for that. And it really worked out in the end. Because like instead of like she wanted to really wait for me to like really refine my talent and everything before taking the big leap instead of like leaping too soon, if you know what I mean.
So there were certain times your mom told you to go forward, and there were certain times that she held you back, not in a mean way, just in a way of, hey,
In
you might want
a
to
protective
consider
way,
this.
yeah. In a protective way for sure. But it was the perfect balance, I think. And I can't thank her enough. So yeah.
Well, the other thing you brought up that I thought was interesting, first of all, which sports did you play?
Baseball, still my favorite sport. Volleyball, and hockey. Every Canadian kid plays
I
hockey
was
at
going to
some
say, not
point.
ice hockey.
Yeah. No, I did end hockey a bit younger though. Just because you got to buy a lot of equipment to play hockey, and you got to travel a lot. It's a big commitment. Baseball and volleyball were a lot less of a commitment. So,
I actually still play ice hockey. It's one of my favorite sports.
oh, nice. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's my favorite sport to watch.
Oh,
Absolutely.
that's amazing. But, like, so you played all these sports and you love these sports. How did you get to the point that you're like, oh, I think it's time. Like I have to focus on this.
Well, I really, like as I got into middle school and eventually high school, like I just knew that I didn't see any other option for myself other than going into the arts in some capacity. And it was
Said,
tough to say
I'm
goodbye.
sorry to keep interrupting you, but you said you didn't see
Yeah.
any option. You just felt so certain about this. It just felt so right to you. Is that what you mean?
And not necessarily, like, oh, I have to do musicals, I have to do film and TV. Like, I just knew that, like, some aspect of the arts industry that's like there was just it was non-negotiable. I just knew that. So it was tough to say goodbye to sports because that was kind of just like a big part of being a kid. But like I knew that I was okay with that because I feel like at a young age I did know that this was what I was going to do.
How old were you when you went all in?
Probably about 15. Probably about 15. Yeah, I think that's when I started going to the camps in America. And then that's when it really clicked. Yeah, once I realized that there was other kids who were extremely good at what they did, then that was like, yeah, okay, no, this is not a cakewalk. It's time to lock in. And then, yeah, saying goodbye to other hobbies and everything wasn't so hard.
So yeah, guys, just what he's saying, like sometimes, like in order to be good at something, eventually you are gonna have to lock in. Like you have to show up and put in the hours. Like Cuban did not just show up at the stage door on opening night for Creed. Like, hey, put me in, coach.
Yeah.
He didn't do
Yeah.
that at all. Like he put in years and years and hours to hone his craft. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm thankful I did. I'm thankful I did, definitely.
So, like, what did that schedule look like when you were singing every day, when you were acting every day? Like, give people kind of an idea, especially the kids that are listening to this, like, kind of an
Yeah.
idea of what kind of level of dedication it took, like, when you got home from school.
Yeah, well, as with anything, practice makes perfect, and that was definitely like a big thing that my parents drilled into me. But especially, I think it really like especially performance, honestly. So after school, I would So it was, yeah, another thing that I did was I did Royal Conservatory voice. So that's a thing in Canada where it's like you basically can like you do exams, like voice exams. So like I was singing like an Italian opera pieces and like German classical music and stuff like that for exams. Because then and so that also consists of like sight reading music and ear training. So like they play you two notes and then you need to be able to say which interval that is. And then they give you a piece of music that you get for the first time in your life. And then you just sing la 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 on it, but then you need to like sight read the notes and stuff like that. Because that was like the music training that really, that I solidified as an, at an early age that, now it's just second nature. So, on like in rehearsals, I can sight read a piece of music that I'm given. So home from school was, yeah, practicing my songs for my exams, practicing sight reading, practicing ear training. And then I also did a lot of like musical theater festivals that were like kind of like competitions essentially where you go in and perform a solo. So I was always performing practicing that. And I really learned at a young age that with performing, because stage fright is a huge aspect of it's a huge phenomenon in my industry. My way of combating that was practicing so much that no matter what my nerves feel on the day, my muscle memory will be able to take me through at the end of the day. And that goes for singing as well. If you're nervous and your heart is in your throat, like, but if you have practiced singing those high notes enough times, your muscle memory will take over. And I did find it a lot of points in my youth, like performing at a festival, a competition or something, and being so nervous that I actually felt kind of like an out of body experience where I was like watching myself from third person, but like my body knew what to do and my voice knew what to do from the practice. And nothing could faze me. I wouldn't so much say that anymore because now my outlook on it all is kind of like being in the moment and like being very truthful in the moment. But as a kid, you get nervous. And what I tell people, a lot of people at stage door and stuff, they ask me like, do you have tips for stage fright and stuff? And honestly, you have to you got to put in the work and practice and get it into your muscle memory because that will not fail you when you're under pressure. Yeah, I think I learned that at a young age, and I still stand by that.
So how many hours would you say that you would put in, like, and I'd love if you could answer both on weekdays, when you had school, and also the weekends, and even if you want to extrapolate further to like summer vacation.
Yeah, I'd say weekends was probably when I practiced more. But after after school on weekdays, I'd say minimum of 2 hours probably. Like that doesn't sound like a lot, but my parents also made sure that I was still getting a childhood, and being a kid. But in the weekends, yeah, is because weekends is when I would, that's when I would go to my tutors, like my singing teachers, my acting coach, and like classes, and I did improv classes on the weekends and stuff like that. So honestly, I'm really bad with numbers. I probably can't give you like a weekly hour average, but A fair amount every day, a fair amount every day. And especially for singing, you know, it's a muscle. People kind of like it's hard for people who don't sing to understand that, like, the voice is a muscle and you need to train it and work it out just like any other muscle at the gym. So, like, even if you don't let, even if you're not practicing a specific song every day, even the act of warming up your voice and just doing scales every day, that gets your voice in shape and maintains it. So, even if I have nothing to practice for, still throwing in a warm up and scales or whatever exercises you've been working on and you value vowels you've been struggling on, just doing that every day, even that helps majorly. And summer vacation, a lot of summers I would just be doing shows. I would be doing, like youth shows and community theater shows and stuff like that. So, but the thing is, you know the phrase, obviously, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Like that's doing a show at that age, you know, like it's work and it's training, but like I love it. Because at the end of the day, why I do this is because I love it. Like practicing singing was never really like, doesn't feel like practice. It's just like what I want to do, you know, and practicing acting. Like it's, I just enjoy it. I'm thankful that I can call that my job and career now. But even as a kid, it was like I'm excited to go to my voice lesson after school. I'm excited to go to rehearsal. So I think that that's the way I described it. I might have sounded like a really like I didn't have a fun childhood. Like I definitely did, but doing all of that was fun to me.
Well, you know, and just picking up on some of the things you said, it's like, yeah, when you really love doing something, it doesn't really feel like work. So like if you really love doing something, like go do it. You know, keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. You know, dude, I keep wanting to call you Josh.
Hey, I respond to either. I respond to either. It's okay.
Just stop myself. It's like, no, it's Keelan.
I mean, in rehearsals, that was a big thing. So, Lid, I'm used to it. It's okay.
So, I mean, but yeah, like whatever you guys love to do, go do it and do more of it, and you'll get better and better and better. So,
Absolutely.
you did a ton of shows. Like, what were some of your favorite shows you favorite roles or so you did in
Yeah,
school?
I've got to shout out Peter Pan. I played the role of Peter Pan when I was 14 because my voice hadn't changed yet. So I was still singing in a female octave doing Peter Pan because normally it's a woman. Normally it's a fully grown woman playing Peter Pan.
You
But
played Peter Pan. Dude,
yeah, that
I
was
am so incredibly jealous because like Peter Pan's like that was my favorite movie growing up. Like, and I love the Mary Martin version that I'd watch like endlessly. And so,
Yeah,
dude,
me
like,
too.
so you get a fly?
I did. We had
Oh
a
my
whole team come
gosh,
in
I'm
with
so
like flying
jealous.
rigs and stuff, and it honestly, that really did solidify, because that was like, I was 14, and you know, I said I think I locked in at 15, but doing that at 14 really solidified, like, oh my gosh, this is what I need to do, because it combined so many of my interests. Like I got to sing and act and do comedy and stuff, and act like a child. I still was a child, but and I got to sword fight and fly all in one show. Like it was like unreal, because like, you know, I'm a huge like fantasy nerd and Lord of the Rings and all that stuff. So like getting to sword fight and sing and dance and act and fly all in the same show, I was like, this is just like the best time ever. And I remember doing that show and I was like, man, I can't wait until this is all I have to do in my days instead of going to school and then do this.
You know, I'm aghast over here because, guys, this never happens. Like, no boy gets to ever be Peter Pan at 14 years old.
Yeah, I was very
Like,
lucky.
I mean, you're the first one I've ever heard of.
I think it was a yeah, it like they wrote articles about it because it was just kind of unheard of. But I was lucky that my voice didn't change, so I was able to sing it all.
Dude, I am beyond jealous. Like, I would love, yeah. Anyways, so Peter Pan, any other particular roles? Not that anyone's gonna trump that, just saying, but.
I mean, I did Danny in Grease. I feel like doing Grease is like every high school, like that happens in every high school theater department. But that, you know, that was fun. And then that, yeah, the role I did in Big, was really great as well. I really enjoyed doing that. And then the thing is, I actually took a step back from doing community theater productions in high school. I just did my high school shows. Because prepping for college auditions kind of restricted my time frame. So then I kind of, I had to like take a step back from doing community theater shows, like which I loved. I had to take a step back, but I had to take a step back because I knew that I needed to focus on what was going to make me, what was going to make, like I had to take a step back because I knew that if I wanted to make these community theater shows my job one day and then to do professional theater, I had to say goodbye to it for a little bit. Yeah, then I just did my shows in high school, and we did Crazy for You and got to play the prince in Little Mermaid, which was fun. But yeah, that's when most of my spare time was yeah, going to these audition prep courses and going working with my teachers and stuff. Yeah.
I think that's really cool, Keelan. Like, you seem to know yourself so well. Like, I mean, because it would seem backwards, right? It's like, I need to do less to prepare than to do more.
Yeah.
But like, how did you come to that realization that you just like knew, like, oh, I need to do this?
Well, honestly, from the first point that I went to one of those summer intensive like training camps, and I just realized that like, yeah, the level you need to be at to work in this industry professionally, once that kicked in, like I realized that like I can't really do shows for fun anymore. I need to now like take it to the next step. I need to take it to the next step, and dedicate my time to honestly, a lot of it was about getting into a school, getting into a school. And the thing is, you do not need to go to school to do this industry. But because I'm from a town that is not near, New York or London or LA, school was the best option for me to like go to one of these places to get my foot in the door. I know a lot of people in London right now who like, they never went to drama school and they are succeeding so well. But it's slightly different when you grow up in a town outside of London, and London is you're available, like you grow up around it. But going to school, we knew that that was going to be the thing for me that got me in physically in the place where I needed to be, rather than just moving somewhere randomly hoping, it was very calculated. But yeah, I had to take a step back from doing community theater shows because I had to lock in and figure out. And make sure that I was going to get into a good school that took me where I wanted to be.
I had a question there and it disappeared.
It's all good.
So once you can, so you've gone through high school, or do you guys call it high school in Canada? I can't remember. Okay. So you've gone through high school and you get the letter, or however you were notified that you made it into, the school in England. Like what was that moment like?
Well, it's a funny one actually, because I actually got accepted on the spot. That was the only school I auditioned for that I in on the day they told me in person that I had a place at that school as long as I kept my grades up. So it was a conditional offer. And that was wild. It was insane. I was in Chicago auditioning for, like, there's this thing called Unifieds where you can audition for a bunch of schools all at once, in this building, instead of having to fly to the respective city where the schools are. And that's where I, on a whim, decided to audition for the school in England. I remember at the time I was like, oh, there's no way I'd ever go there. That's so far away. But then I ended up auditioning for it, and yeah, they accepted me on the spot, which definitely was like, that really felt like all my hard work had kind of paid off in that moment. And I got accepted to some other American schools as well, actually through the mail and stuff like that, the more traditional way of finding out. And that was great as well. But yeah, it nothing really could beat getting accepted on the spot, because that was kind of the moment when I was like, okay, all of this sacrifice and hard work has paid off, and it really felt amazing. Like I feel bad about indulging living in that moment, but yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Well, I mean, I think that's important, like to, guys, when once you get somewhere, to take a moment and celebrate. Like, you've worked so hard for, so long, and then you get this. I mean, and how cool is it that you got picked up on the spot,
And then the next time I think I because yeah, that was definitely one where it's like, let's take a step back and realize that like that's a huge win. And then I think the next time I really felt like that was so my parents came over with me to move me to the school in England. And the day before I moved to the dorm, we saw a show in London, and we saw Heathers on the West End. And
away.
we stepped out of the theater, and my dad said, he was like, Keelan, that the male lead in that, like, he was like, you need to do that one day. And I was like, oh, I would love to. And the thing is, I grew up listening to that soundtrack in high school, and like that was my dream role. That was my absolute like bucket list dream role, can die happy. And but yeah, right before I started school, I saw Heathers on the West End with my parents, and they said, they were like, you need to do that one day. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. And the thing is, I kind of kept it kind of quiet that that was my dream role, because it's a very popular dream role for young guys to have. So like I thought, I was like, oh, it sounds basic to tell people that. So I never really spoke about it that much. But then fast forward to 2024, and I auditioned for that show, and I booked the male lead in Heather. So that was like another really took a step back, like full circle moment. Because that was my dream role since I was about 16. And it's the first show I saw on the West End when I came over here for school. And then fast forward a couple years, and I ended up playing my dream role and making my West End debut with that role, the very same one that I saw like right before I started school. So when I got the phone call for that, that was really like a like I literally said to my agent, I was like, well, I can die happy now. Like, yeah. And honestly, and like I never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined that that would have happened. It did. I'm happy to say that it did. Yeah. And I feel like I was subconsciously preparing for that role my entire life. So, and I put everything I had into it. But yeah, I really like took a step back and like was like, man, like I'm from the other side of the world, from a town that doesn't really have that much of a theater scene. And we took a chance, and I followed my dreams, as the name of your podcast. And it happened. And a lot, it's a very popular show online, and a lot of the kids from my city like showed a huge amount of love and support, and it just like made me feel so grateful and happy. But also like I realized that I was inspiring other kids to follow their dreams of this industry. Like I had comments from a kid from my city being like, oh my God, he used to do storybook theater, the theater that I'm doing a show in right now. Like, look, like it's possible. Like he's doing our favorite show. Like so that was a real full circle moment for me when I realized that like I was inspiring kids who were in the exact same position as me doing community theater in Calgary at Storybook Theater. It's just such a privilege. And actually, Storybook Theater had me do a Zoom masterclass with some of the kids because they actually did Heathers at Storybook Theater while I was doing Heathers on the West End. And so I got to speak to them. And I remember when they had alumni from Storybook Theater speak to us when I was doing shows and stuff like that. And it was just, I was like, wow, I am now the person that is inspiring kids who are doing the same community theater I did. It was just like, I just felt so complete and whole and grateful, and so grateful that I decided to take the chance and come over here.
Like that's, I mean, this it's like the student has become the teacher, right? You know, getting
Exactly.
to talking to people and like, I mean, that's so cool. You know, like what, like how did you feel like when you first moved to England? Like, had you ever been to England before?
Terrified, terrified. I had once briefly, but I was so young I barely remembered it. Yeah, I felt absolutely terrified. And actually, I remember calling my mom like after like the second week, and I was like, oh, I've made a mistake. Like, I want to go home. Like, I was so terrified, and culture shock, being in a different country, everyone. It's talking about how weird my accent is and stuff like that. And I did not see myself having a future here. I really didn't. I remember those first few weeks, they were so hard. But I stuck with it. I stuck with it. And I'm glad I did, because I just felt like such an outcast. But then, no matter where you're from, the theater community is one giant family. So, and eventually they pulled me in, and it was great. But yeah, it was terrifying. And I still remember like that first year of school, the West End was still like a wild dream. It was like an unattainable thing. And I remember like first few years at school, I remember thinking, I was like, yeah, that's never gonna happen for me. I'm gonna end up moving home. Because yeah, because basically the way my visas work is like, if you don't book jobs that are good enough credits on your resume, you can't get the talent visa that I'm currently on that allows me to stay in this country. So I remember I was like, oh yeah, like it's just not gonna work out for me. I'm gonna have to move home. But yeah, that's another thing. Like I tell people, like literally, like you can ne never give up. Never give up. Literally. Like my dad always says that. Never give up. And it was hard, and I wanted to crumble so bad, but I didn't. And I didn't. And I'm really glad that I stuck with it, and it all worked out. And I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. So, yeah, if that gives anyone any hope out there.
Yeah, so even when you're scared, when you're trembling, when you're in a brand new country, when everybody thinks you have a funny accent, all you have to do is just keep going, right?
Absolutely. And yeah, great.
So we're going to go into a bit more of a vulnerable subject. You know, theater is one of those things. I mean, you know, a lot of times, like theater kids get made fun of. I mean, they call them the drama kids and everything else. Now I was in a play as well, and I've been in, you know, different shows also. But like, I wanted to ask you, did you ever get bullied as an actor? And how did it honestly affect you? And what did like? And I mean, you don't have to be super specific, but like, and then what did you do to just say, ah, oh, screw it, like move forward anyways?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like especially for boys, doing drama and doing theater, like it's a big thing, and I think it scares off a lot of young guys who want to do it because it is you're such an easy target, middle school was really, really tough for me. Because actually this is a funny story. So when me and my parents decided that I was going to try to do this professionally, they said like my mentor was like, he's got the acting and the singing, but he needs to dance. He needs to learn how to dance if he wants to like have a shot. So my parents actually sent me to this sports school that the main for like gifted athletes or something like that. Because I was a boy in Calgary, Alberta, I wasn't great at dancing, but they did let me in. And so they had a special section for dance. But ma the majority of the reason that school was around was for hockey. So I was in middle school as the only boy in the dance program, completely surrounded by hockey players. And it was so tough. Those were definitely easily the worst years of my life. And I went through everything from trying to hide it to trying to own it to trying to pretend that I hated it. Because, I played hockey just like all these other kids and I was a normal kid, but then I ended up deciding this is what I wanted to do. And there were so many points when I almost fell into, I almost like let them change my mind. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I should just drop it all and like play sports again and just be a regular kid. But the bullying was bad, but honestly, what got me through it at the end of the day was I was thinking about my future self. I was thinking one day this will all be worth it. And one day I'll look back at those days and be super glad that I didn't let them get to me and give up. But the bullying is real. No matter where you are in the world, I'm sure that if you are a kid in doing drama or dance or whatever, and especially boys, you will absolutely face bullying at some point in your life. High school got better because I went to high school that had a really good arts program and it was known around the city for the arts program. So then that was definitely a bit better. But I still did find myself pretending to not, I would try to hide it. I would try to hide it. And that is one regret I have that, yeah, sometimes I would not be, I wouldn't be my real self. I would put on a persona that pretended that, yeah, drama and dance were not cool and stuff like that. And that definitely is a regret because what I say to well, what I would like to say to everyone is like, just own it because think of and think about your future self. Think about your future self because you will be thankful that you stood through it. And I'm super glad I did. And honestly, those years at middle school when I was getting like relentlessly bullied and excluded and everything, that has definitely helped my acting when I need to go to a vulnerable place, and especially my role in Heathers, because that show is all about bullying. I tap into when I need to be vulnerable on stage, I tap into my middle schooler brain and who I was at that time and how I felt. And that ultimately has benefited my acting. Like, as kind of sad as it is to say, when I need to have a really vulnerable moment on stage, I pretend I remember what it felt like to be that, 13-year-old kid who just wants to be included, but being ostracized for what I did. So honestly, if you're getting bullied, like, you can use it to your advantage one day and just don't let them get to you and stick through it. That's the best advice I have, but it will get better. And if people think there's no possible way it can get better, I hope that I can be an example of how it can get better.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you so much for going there. It just kind of kept coming to me to go there. So, like, I super appreciate your vulnerability and your honesty.
Course.
Like, the other thing that strikes me is no matter how old we are, there's always going to be some bully. Like, I mean, there's full grown, like, actors will in boy bands, etc. And like, there's always going to be a hater. And at the end of the day, like you said, like, Just stick with it. Because the worst part is, like, when you give something up because somebody else enticed you to give it up that you didn't want to give up. I mean, dude, so, like, I mean, you think about how many actors have quit because of that. And serious props for just sticking with what you wanted and sticking with your guns, no matter how bad it got, man. Like, that is really cool.
And
Seriously.
at the end of the day, you're going to be the one that comes out on top, because I've had people message me, like congratulating me on things and stuff like that. But like, I'm like, okay, but you were the person bullying me for this all those years ago. But it's a it honestly kind of felt good. It's a full circle thing. It's like, if you stick with it, the tables will turn one day. Like, if you stick with it and stay true to yourself, you'll come on top. You'll come out on top.
And I also I want to acknowledge your humility and like being cool when people come back to you, because the 13-year-old and you wants to tell them lots of words that he probably shouldn't say on this podcast, but like,
Yeah, absolutely.
instead just saying, hey, thank you. You know, everybody wants to be your fan when you're famous. But seriously, thank you so much for going down that avenue.
Of
Like,
course.
I know we don't have that much time left, but I want you to take me from, so Heather's was like, so you graduate, and how soon after that did you get the Heather's role?
It actually wasn't, it was quite a long time, actually. I graduated, moved to London, in a tiny little flat, and started working at a pub. Started working at a pub with one of my best friends, who I'm still living with. He's actually just in the other room over there. And we both started bartending at the same pub together. And so I did that while auditioning, fresh out of school, and did a couple auditions for things that I didn't really think I was suited for, and didn't get them. And then eventually, I actually ended up booking my first professional job, which was doing Grease the Musical on a Royal Caribbean cruise. So, I did Grease in high school once, and then my first professional job was doing, Grease on a cruise. I was playing one of the T-Birds. I was playing Sonny. I was understudy Danny and Kanicki. So I was understudy the two main guys, and while playing the comedic relief, funny guy side character. And so I did that for a year. And honestly, I owe a lot to that, because that gave me the money to move back to London and get a better place. But that also really gave me the experience of covering leads, and I got to dip my toes into covering leads professionally and playing leads professionally. At the time, I still really thought that I was like the funny side character type. I really didn't think that like leading men were in the cards for me. So then I finished the cruise, came back. Then there was a good while after the cruise when
Wait, hold on.
I,
Can we come back? Can we come back to the cruise? What was that like to do a show? I mean, you guys prop. How often did you perform? Every week? Every night?
We only did six shows a week.
Only 6 shows a week, guys. Only
No,
six.
but that's no, but that's nothing, because on land you're doing 8 shows a week. So
Oh.
it was nice. That was really nice. And yeah, we did. I was on that ship for 10 and a half months doing that show. But I didn't get bored, because I was constantly ready to be the understudy for these two main guys. But the cruise was wild. It is a really, it is like you separate from real life. You were in a bubble. You were in a bubble for a year, where you're only around the same people pretty much for about a year. Like it doesn't feel like real life. You talk about your old life as real life. Like, oh, in real life, what do you do? Where are you from? Like on the cruise, it's you are in a bubble, and it feels like I lived a different life in that year, honestly. It's crazy. And coming back to land was like, oh wow, real life, it's all coming back to me. Like it was crazy, but it was a great experience. And honestly, if any young performers are listening, doing a cruise fresh out of school is a fantastic idea, because it gives you a decent amount of money. Like you can save really well, and it gives you great experience in a pretty low stakes performing environment. So I had a great time, and I'm really glad I did it. I'm not in a rush to go back, but I think it's a great thing for people to do if you're fresh out of school. And then, do you have any more questions about the cruise, or should I go on?
I was just curious, like how, so cruise lifestyle, are you're able to get off the ship as well, every port?
So the best thing about being in the cast of a show on the ship is that basically, when you're not working, you can essentially live life like a guest. So
What are the hours like on a cruise?
my routine would be waking up, going to the guest buffet for breakfast, getting off at the wherever we're porting, wherever we're docked. So like let's say, I mean, we went to Jamaica a lot. I'd wake up, have breakfast, get off the ship, go to a beach on Jamaica, lay in the sun, hang out with the cast, explore whichever island we were on at the time, and then head back for the evening, and then get to warm up for 6 o'clock, and then do your show, and then go to the hot tub after the show. It was great. It was a fantastic lifestyle. It was awesome. And your work to not work hours are fantastic, because like I said, only 6 shows a week, so like you'll never get that on land. So it was a special, it was a great time.
So it was like 4 hour work days, kind of almost.
Pretty much,
Oh.
we did have to do safety drills and stuff like that. So like every now and then you'd have to do like just like training, or like prove that you know how to put a life jacket on and stuff like that. Because at the end of the day, even if you're in the cast, you are an employee of the ship. So like if the ship's going down, we actually are like, we help, we join in with all the other cruise employees, and like we practice like evacuations and stuff like that. So that was like the work hours outside of the show were mainly just like safety things and stuff like that. But aside from that, yeah, it was a great life. Yeah. You would spend all day on the beach, and then go do the show, and make a decent amount of money doing it.
He saw the beach in those 10 and a half months a lot more, or the sun a lot more in those 10 and a half months than he's seen in London ever since.
Yes, absolutely. I miss my tan. I miss my tan, absolutely.
So after the cruise, take us from there.
Yes, so got back from the cruise, and I went back to working in a bar instead of a pub. I actually, with the same friend who I worked at that same pub with, he found a new job while I was gone at this place called Archer Street, which was like a singing bar. It wasn't musical theater, it wasn't songs for musicals, it was just pop and rock. But like, it was like a fancy bar where the waiters, like people taking your drink orders, also sing, and you stand up on the tables and like kind of get the party going and stuff like that. So I did that for a long time, while also doing, you know what? I haven't said this, I don't think, but on any podcast, but I also did Spider-Man birthday parties. That was my big side hustle as well, and I had a solid, like, I think it was like 5 months, 5 or 6 months, where all I was doing is working in this bar, auditioning and doing these Spider-Man birthday parties, where I would dress up as Spider-Man and through a company, and go to birthday parties and do backflips and play games and then leave. Yeah, I had a couple side hustles like that. And it was those months were really tough, because I proved to myself that, in terms of my life, like I proved to myself that I was worthy enough of getting accepted to the school. I proved myself I was worthy of getting the cruise job, but that still wasn't really, it wasn't a job on land. So I still was like, the cruise was a great rung on the ladder, but like the next rung that really would like solidify doing this, choosing to do this, was booking a job on land. And that didn't happen for a long time. I auditioned for a lot of things. I got very close to getting a lot of things. But it didn't go my way in those few months, and I remember freaking out to my roommates, because it was getting close to where my visa was going to, like, I was like, I could see the end in sight of my visa. And I was like, look, if I don't book something worthy, like if I don't book something good enough on land here, I might not get approved for the visa I need to apply for, and then I might have to go home. And so that was very scary. And I felt a huge weight on my shoulders, because I was like, if this doesn't work out, obviously it's fine to go home, but let's just like we my parents and I put in so much time and effort to getting to me where I am at that moment. It was terrifying. But then actually this order of things doesn't really make sense, but I booked I auditioned for Clueless. I auditioned for the development run of Clueless. So basically it was an outside of London production that was going to be like workshopping this brand new show. And I was auditioning for that. And I actually originally was in auditioning for the skateboarder, like hippie guy in the show, who was like the funny side character. And then a couple rounds up in that audition, the casting director came out to me and she was like, hey, I'm gonna give you these sides for Josh. I know you're busy, but like your next round, just like have this stuff prepared. So I was like, oh, okay, maybe they're looking at me to like understudy the main guy. Then I ended up going into finals for the main guy, and I didn't even realize that I was being considered for the actual part of Josh. I thought I was just being considered for the skateboarder and then covering, like understudying Josh. And then that day that I got the call saying that I'd booked Josh, that was like the biggest, probably the best day of my life, because that was like the relief. I was like, okay, I've just proved to myself I can actually book a lead on in a show on land. And not only the character, like I was going to be happy with the funny side character, which I was originally in for, but ended up being Josh, made famous by Paul Rudd, like the leading man of this show. And that changed everything for me. So then I did that development run, went well, and then had about a month or two off, went back to working at the bar. Then I ended up booking Heather's. Then, as soon as Heather's finished, Clueless said, we're transferring to the West End. Would you like to come back and reprise your role? And I said, yes, absolutely. So then I had a month off between the end of Heather's and the start of Clueless. And that leads us to where we are today. So yeah, I honestly my bucket list things, like when I was at school, my bucket list things were playing JD in Heathers. That was like I was like, if I don't do that by the time I die, I will be unfulfilled. And then my next biggest bucket list thing was I want to originate a part in a new show, preferably a young, fun high school show, because that's my niche right now. And I ended up doing both of those things within the same year. So I can truly die happy now. And yeah, like genuinely, I never thought in my wildest dreams that both of those things would happen so close together, let alone at all. So if anyone is listening out there, like it can happen. It can happen. Like the name of the show, it's possible, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I love what you said there. It's like, not in your wildest dreams did you think it was possible. You didn't think you were a leading man material. Like, all these other things, guys, these are just thoughts that come to our head, and they're not helpful. Like, if you treat almost every thought that comes through your head as rubbish, you'll be better off, and you just keep
Yeah.
moving forward anyways, you know? And
100%.
so. I know we gotta end here, but I got two more questions for you that are
Of
pretty
course.
quick. So looking ahead, what's one dream, whether it's in acting, like playing a different dream role, or something completely different that feels almost impossible right now, and how are you starting to take steps towards it to making it a reality?
Yeah. I'd say that my next the some like a dream of mine that does seem like completely unattainable right now is breaking into film and TV, and more specifically, I would really, really love to do a TV show or a movie that is coming out of Canada, something that is Canadian made, because all my life I've I know of celebrities such as like Mike Myers, Jim Carrey, people like that who are Canadian and they make it big and then they go to America and then they never really acknowledge Canada again for the rest of their lives. And I've always thought like, man, if I ever like have the opportunity to do something big, I would love to be proud of Canada and try to put Canada on the map. And I think shows like Schitt's Creek have done that, and I would love to do something like that, like be on the next Canadian comedy sitcom that is 100% Canadian made, but people all over the world love it. Because everyone wants to do film and TV, and I do as well, but I would specifically love to do something Canadian made film and TV wise. And that does seem very it does seem like a crazy unattainable dream as of now, because I've only just dipped my toes into theater professionally over here in the West End. So it's like I don't want to get ahead of myself, but in terms of taking the steps to do that, I've always I'm going to like film and TV classes in London here, utilizing the resources that there are here. And also because of the show, because of Heathers and Clueless, that's some people from North America, I mean just like yourself, some people from North America end up seeing the show, and a lot of people have got in contact with me, such as like managers and agents who are looking to who are have offered to represent me in North America, and all the film and TV opportunities that I think I'm actually suited for will be coming out of North America. Because I don't think I'm gonna play a British guy on TV anytime soon when there's 100 actual British guys going up for it as well, and I'm in the process of creating, yeah, I'm in the process of building a team for myself who can represent me in North America and start getting me seen for film and TV in Canada and America. So it is still like a wild dream, but the steps to trying to create it a reality, I'm starting the baby steps of
I love how he calls those baby steps.
that.
Guys, listen, he's already performing pretty much every day in the West End, which is one of the top theater places in the entire world. And on top of that, he's going to TV and film classes throughout the day. I mean, and on top of that, he's getting his agents in place and getting everything else in place. And supposedly he still doesn't think he can do it.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see. It's a larger pool, but also, there's a stigma against theater performers. A lot of people have the idea that like theater performers don't know how to act for the camera, and I'd love to be one of the people that pioneers breaking that stereotype and breaking out of that box. And a lot of people have, like, there are some great examples of Broadway people who are now really successful in film and TV, but it's still quite rare. So I'd love to be one of the people that can kind of prove to the world that just because you do musical theater or do plays or theater in any scope, that an actor is an actor is an actor, I think I want to be one of the people that proves that we can do it all.
That's so cool. And guys, again, like it no matter what you think, whether you can or you can't, like just take the steps and figure it out. Keep going and see what happens. So
Absolutely.
the last question I want to ask you is like what advice, I guess it's a two-parter. What advice would you give to a kid that dreams of being an actor, whether being an actor in the West End, and also what advice would you give to an adult that feels they're too late to do what they really want to do?
So in terms of any kids that want to do this, I'd say find your local resources, no matter where you are in the world. I'm from somewhere that is miles and miles and miles away from the big cities where all the exciting stuff is happening. But even in that town, I reached out and found my local resources, no matter how big or how small they are, use them. So whether that's doing drama class in your high school or middle school, doing community theater, trying to find either like a voice teacher of some kind, and if you're not in a financial position to pay for a teacher or classes, nowadays there are lots of programs and outreach programs that that can provide that if you're not in the financial position to do that. And just do as much as you can. And you know, and if you're only interested in film and TV, find groups of people who are making student films, or even if it's just a group of friends and you want to make a short film, you can do it on your iPhone. Like, just involving yourself in the arts in any capacity is your first step to making it a profession. But also know that it's not going to happen instantly, and that you do need to be in the right place at the right time. But all you can do is make sure that increase the probability of you being in the right place at the right time. Like every actor, I'm sure, has stories of them bussing tables and bartending, just like myself. So like, if you are in a position where if you graduated school and you're just auditioning and you're not getting anything, everyone goes through those times of when you are working regular jobs and you feel like it's endless, but then you have to keep going. But yeah, rewinding to if you are a young kid and you want to start doing this, find your local theater, find your community theater, find any classes happening, and just start from there and do as much as you possibly can. Put on cabarets, put on concerts. Me and my friends put on countless concerts and cabarets back home when we weren't doing anything. Just
Wait,
to
what's a cabaret for the people that
a
aren't
cabaret is just
familiar?
there's a concert where you all sing songs or do anything else you'd like to do. We mainly just sang, but you know, if there's people that want to do stand up or magic, I don't know, anything like that. Anything where there's a stage and a crowd, just do it, and then you start building that experience, and then you become more and more confident, and then eventually that community theater will be semi-professional, and then that semi-professional can be regional, and then that's the thing, honestly. All of the professional jobs I've done, I feel like I approach them with the exact same mindset that I was approaching my community theater shows with. Obviously, my professionalism has changed now that I'm older, but like, it still feels the same. Despite, you know, from my high school musical to a musical on the West End, I don't feel that different about it, because I just started performing, and performing feels like performing, whether you're getting paid for it or not. So, yeah, that's my advice to any young kids out there. And if there's any adults who think it might be too late, I mean, what was it? Morgan Freeman only started acting when he was about like 45 or something like that. That's a fantastic example. But also, part of being an actor is channeling your own lived experiences into things. I truly think that it took me a while to realize that bringing aspects of yourself and your unique self into your work is what makes it interesting and exciting to watch. I used to just like copy the way that all my favorite male Broadway performers did things when I was young, like how they sounded, how they act, how they deliver their lines. And then I realized, no, people don't want to see a copy of you doing someone else. People want to see what's unique about you. And once I embraced that, I truly think that I that changed things. And bring thing and if you're an older person and you think it's too late, like that is absolutely fine, because you've lived a whole life and you have created a unique version of yourself because of the life you lived. And if you bring that to acting, that will be great. Obviously, you know, there's certain skills that take time to train and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, just having lived a life and getting to bring that to a character, that's fantastic. That a lot of teachers say, like, oh, like you won't be able to play this character until you've like lived a bit more in your life. And if you've always wanted to do this and you think it's too late, just know that it's not, because you have an entire life to bring to the table. you're that, and that's an advantage. That's an advantage. So it's never too late, and never give up. Yeah.
So guys, words from somebody that's already there. It is never too late. And just you know, I mean, everything you said was wonderful. So I have to first of all thank Keelan so much. He is currently in London and I am in Arizona. And his my time it's 4:30 in the afternoon. His time it's 12:30 in the morning. So it's super late for him. So I'm so grateful to you, Keelan. This has been so wonderful. I so appreciate
Oh,
you.
thank you. Thank you. This is awesome. I love what you're doing. Thank you so much.
And tell the listeners if they want to follow you, how they can.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Keelan.McCauley. And if you're in London, Clueless is playing until March 2026. So come and see the show if you're able to.
Yeah, definitely worth it, guys. I know sometimes movie musicals, again, like I said before, you know, kind of poo-pooed, but it was so fun. It was so awesome. And him and his co-stars do such an amazing job. So, Keelan, thank you so much. It's great having you. And thank you.
Thank you so much. This was awesome. Take care. Thank you.